In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Our Lord's words here could not be clearer. Be merciful. And yet, we are not left on our own to find the strength to show such mercy. This mercy which we are to show to others is grounded in the mercy which the Lord has first extended to us. Thus the psalmist says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though the earth gives way or the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, we have no reason to fear. For the mercy of the Lord is our final hope and comfort." And as the psalm verse says, this mercy takes the form of God granting us salvation. For Christ has entered our human flesh. He has taken our sin upon himself, and he has gone to the cross so that he might atone for our sins, restore us in right relationship to God, and grant us the gift of everlasting life. This promise of eternal life is ours even now, though we are not yet able to experience its benefits in this life. Though we suffer on this side of glory, though death robs us of our loved ones, our hope is fixed upon the promise of eternal life. Thus, the apostle tells us in today's epistle, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." See, suffering is the lot of all men. Faith in Christ does not spare us of this fate. But faith in Christ does grant us a new perspective on life in this fallen world. This is not the end. Something greater awaits us on the other side of death and the grave. And we cannot even begin to comprehend the greatness of everlasting life. C.S. Lewis once compared our inability to comprehend the greatness of everlasting life to a child making mud pies in a slum who cannot envision what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. But the apostle does make one aspect of eternal life clear to us so that we can begin to imagine it, at least in part. Eternal life will involve the redemption of our bodies in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the resurrection on the last day, our aches and pains and bodily struggles will be gone, and we will have a body as in our youth. For this, we groan and wait. It would sure be nice to have all of this now, but according to the wisdom of Almighty God, we must wait. And as his children, we submit to him and wait. For we do not deserve these great and precious promises. There is nothing in us that merits the life that has been given to us. It is ours purely by the mercy of God. So, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. The mercy, grace, and love which has been extended to us in Christ is now our motivation to show mercy to others. And so our Lord says, "Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." how easy it is to say these words or to nod in agreement. But it is much harder to be doers of the word. How often do we condemn others based upon our limited experience and knowledge? We so quickly pass judgment on the worthiness of others to possess good things. We covet the car that someone drives or the home that someone owns, justifying it in our minds by saying, they don't deserve these nice things, at least not as much as I do. Or we pass judgment on the character of another person based solely upon a brief interaction, condemning them for how they dress, what they say, or how they act. We are slow to forgive, holding grudges against another to the point where we might even forget why we were upset in the first place. When someone apologizes to us, we are so reluctant to speak the words, "I forgive you," often brushing the apology off by saying, "It's okay," or "Don't worry about it." And yet, the failure to actually speak words of forgiveness is a failure to forgive, and therefore it breeds resentment. The point is this: your words matter. The words that you speak out loud and the words that you think in your mind are important. They have the ability not only to affect other people, but also to shape the way that you see reality around you. And of course, words directly influence our actions. We cannot be merciful in the way that our Heavenly Father is merciful if that mercy does not begin in our minds and upon our lips. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Likewise, the Lord instructs us in the eighth commandment that we shall not bear false witness against our neighbor. Rather, we should defend our neighbor, speak well of him, and put the best construction on everything. Imagine going to an ice cream shop and paying for a dish of ice cream. The server then takes a scoop of the ice cream you have requested and puts it in the dish. Then she gets another scoop and another scoop and begins to cram the ice cream down along the edges of the dish, doing so again and again until every square millimeter of the dish is filled with ice cream and it is now overflowing from the top. This kind of extreme generosity is accompanied by a unique mindset. The ice cream shop is not asking, how can we make the most money, but they're asking, how can we serve our customers? This is a slightly cruder analogy than the one that our Lord uses in today's gospel, but it gets the same point across. In the same way, we must not look at other people through the lens of what we can get out of them. We must learn to be merciful in the same way that our Heavenly Father is merciful. He freely gives us his forgiveness, grace, and kindness, so that our cup runneth over. Let us freely give in the same way to others. And of course, this begins with how we think and what we speak about others. See, your spouse is not a cross to bear. He or she is a gift of God given to you to be your partner for life. Your kids are not an inconvenience. They are a heritage from the Lord by which he grants immeasurable blessings. Your unbelieving co-workers or neighbors are not a burden. They are men and women who are lost and in need of the same divine mercy which you have been given. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Dear friends in Christ, let us strive to be like our teacher and Lord, not out of compulsion or necessity, but out of thankfulness and love. Let us seek to cultivate within ourselves the mind of Christ, so that we would see others the way that he sees us. This transformed mind will not come about overnight. It will come about through the hard work of correcting ourselves when we sense a spirit of condemnation within us. It will come about through dedication to put the best construction on everything in our speech as well as in our thoughts. It will come about through accountability to one another as we seek to spur one another on in love and good works. In short, this will come about through daily contrition and repentance as we throw ourselves upon the mercy of Christ, apart from which we are unable to extend mercy to others. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. God grant it. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.